Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 29. Deuteronomy 29. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the sons of Israel in the land of Moab, besides the covenant which he had made with them at Horeb. And Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, "You have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and all his servants and all his land. The great trials which your eyes have seen, those great signs and wonders, yet to this day the Lord has not given you a heart to know, nor eyes to see, nor ears to hear. And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn out on you. Your sandal has not worn out on your foot. You have not eaten bread, nor have you drunk wine or strong drink, in order that you might know that I am the Lord your God. When you reached this place, Sihon, the king of Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, came out to meet us for battle, but we defeated them. And we took their land and gave it as an inheritance to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of the Manassites. So keep the words of this covenant to do them, that you may prosper in all that you do. You stand today, all of you, before the Lord your God, your chiefs, your tribes, your elders, and your officers, even all the men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, and the alien who is within your camps, from the one who chops your wood to the one who draws your water, that you may enter into the covenant with the Lord your God and into his oath, which the Lord your God is making with you today, in order that he may establish you today as his people, and that he may be your God, just as he spoke to you and he has swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, not with you alone am I making this covenant and this oath, but both with those who stand here with us today in the presence of the Lord our God, and to those who are not with us here today. For you know how we lived in the land of Egypt, and how we came through the midst of the nations through which you have passed. Moreover, you have seen their abominations and their idols of wood, stone, silver, and gold, which they had with them. Lest there shall be among you a man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turns away today from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of those nations, lest there shall be among you a root bearing poisonous fruit and wormwood. And it shall be, when he hears the words of this curse, that he will boast, saying, 'I have peace, though I walk in the stubbornness of my heart in order to destroy the watered land with the dry.' The Lord shall never be willing to forgive him, but rather the anger of the Lord and his jealousy will burn against that man, and every curse which is written in this book will rest on him, and the Lord will blot out his name from under heaven. Then the Lord will single him out for adversity from all the tribes of Israel, according to all the curses of the covenant which are written in this book of the law. Now the generation to come, your sons who rise up after you, and the foreigner who comes up from a distant land, when they see the plagues of the land and as diseases with which the Lord has afflicted it with, will say, 'All its land is brimstone and salt, a burning waste, unsown and unproductive, and no grass sows in it like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Adma and Zeboim.' Then the Lord overthrew in his anger and in his wrath, and all the nations to say, 'Why has the Lord done thus to this land? Why this great outburst of anger?' Then men shall say, 'Because they forsook the covenant of the Lord, the God of their fathers, which he had made with them when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. Then and they went and served other gods and worshipped them, gods whom they have not known and whom he had not allotted to them. Therefore the anger of the Lord burned against that land to bring upon it every curse which is written in this book. And the Lord uprooted them from their land in anger and in fury and in great wrath and cast them into another land as it is this day. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever, that we may observe all the words of this law." Amen. Okay, so now this marks the time of them standing in during this covenant. And so in the 40 years before, they were at Mount Horeb, and now they're standing in Moab. It's very close to each other. And so they come, and so now Moses is summoning all of them together in this place. And so this is the time that they're going to actually, the Israelites now are going to ratify the covenant that they're making with the people. And so he goes through this history of what God has done for them. And I just noticed something kind of interesting. If you look at verse 5, he says, "I've led you 40 years in the wilderness." This is amazing. "Your clothes have not worn out on you. Your sandal has not worn out on your foot. You have not eaten bread, nor have you drunk wine or strong drink, in order that you might know that I am the Lord your God. And so we see, even in the midst of difficulty, there is always God's provision. No matter what happens, God always provides. And the phrase there, you've not eaten bread. They didn't eat bread. They ate manna. I mean, they ate what God sent them from heaven. And it's interesting. You know, when my family, I would say that for us, when our family really came to the Lord, and this is the period of even my own heart became very softened to the gospel, and is when my parents basically lost everything, and you know they had to declare bankruptcy. You know, their furniture manufacturing company, as soon as China opened up, the industry in California basically got wiped out. Everything moved to China, actually, and so I mean we lost everything. We had like four houses in Irvine, like one by one, just disappeared. I still remember the day when the sheriff came and put a notice on our door in our huge house in Irvine that the bank is revoking our property. My mom cried for a week. I mean, it was a very traumatic experience. And so then the Lord kind of led us, and some of you guys know my story. You know, I dropped out of school. I dropped out of college, went back home, started a business, supporting my family during that time. And it's really amazing. Even though it was very difficult, like nothing happened to us. We, we didn't have any car insurance or any health insurance, or you know, when you're going through very financial difficulty, those things tend to go to the wayside. But you know, in all those years, it was roughly a period for probably about 2.5-3 years. No one ever got sick, and none of us ever got in a car accident, which is pretty astounding. It's, even for me, because I average a broken bone a year, basically, back then. Even now, I still average some sort of major injury a year, it seems like. But it's quite interesting. All that time, I mean, not a scratch. And as I look back, I just see God's provision. And even in some times like this, maybe not a lot of money is coming in, maybe because you work or you're not working or in those situations. But you know, another way God provides is not a lot of unnecessary money going out. And that's also a part of God's provision, that there is not these big expenses for, you know, car accidents and medical conditions and whatnot, and things that are quite common in life. And that's what he's reminding these guys there through the wilderness. He says, well, yes, you didn't really have a lot of money to buy clothes. You didn't really have a lot of money, and you didn't have the latest fashions or, you know, shoes and whatnot. But remember, we walked around 40 years and your shoes never wore out. In fact, your clothes never wore out either. And this is really him reminding them of God's provision. You may not have eaten bread, but you had something better. You had manna. You didn't have any grapes, and you know, you didn't have strong drink, and it was probably better for you, you know, that you didn't have any of these things, but you had water that came out of a rock. You know, you had, I mean, really, if you think about this, heavenly refreshment, miraculous provision throughout this time. And he's just reminding these guys, look, and then you went out into battle, and you defeated these warring nations around you, even though we were not a warring nation. And it's just reminding these guys of God's faithfulness over them. And, you know, brothers and sisters, whenever you go through a difficult time and you want to really accuse God of not looking out for you, we get into those bitter moments in our life and things are not really going well and it's really easy to start blaming God. Just take a step back and think of what he has done for you. This is why one of these words that are constantly interwoven, they always tell you to remember, remember. In the Old Testament, it's remember that you were once slaves in Egypt. And so that is the impetus for all their good works and their kindness to foreigners and aliens and all these things. So that's one side there. In the New Testament, it's more remember when you were lost, you know, and you're going to hell and you're a sinner. And remember what Christ has done for you in that regard. And so this idea of always going back and just remember the goodness of God. The psalmist says very clearly, he says, you know, forget not his benefits, right? Forget not the great things that God has done for you. You know, don't lay aside the benefits of the Lord in that regard. And so he comes and he says, man, you are standing here today. This is a divine moment. This is what they've been waiting for. Now the covenant here in Moab is going to be ratified by the people. And then chapter 30, which is really the blessing that's going to come, is the fulfillment of the restoration of the Lord. When we come in covenant and we come in repentance, then the restoration process begins to take a hold. And so he says, you've seen this. He says in 14, now, not with you alone am I making this covenant and this oath, but with those who stand here with us today in the presence of the Lord our God, with those who are not with us here today. And so this is really talking about not just us here, but our future generation that are not here, but that will be in this place of covenant as well. But then he gets on to the part and says, well, if you're unwilling, if you're not going to obey the Lord, if this is not going to happen, then this is kind of similar to chapter 28. This is what you can expect. This, you know, this thing and that thing and whatnot and all this travail. And you're going to be singled out and your generation is going to blot you out and all these things. And it seemed to have had an effect on the people. And in verse 27, it says, therefore, the anger of the Lord burned against that land to bring upon it every curse which is written in this book. That is talking about chapter 28 primarily. And the Lord uprooted them from their land in anger and in fury and in great wrath and cast them into another land as it is this day. And so he gets this and he hears this word, and you can imagine the Israelites are standing there going, what? This is unbelievable. And then the Lord Moses says this in verse 29. And this is one of those verses that you have to underline and highlight and memorize. But the secret things belong to the Lord our God. But things revealed to belong to us and to our sons forever, that we may observe all the words of this law. The secret things belong to the Lord. Now, this, verse 29, has nothing to do with everything he said. There's no connection between verse 29 and the curses. But, you know, scholars believe that when Moses was laying out and he's telling him this was going to happen out of disobedience, and if you go after other gods, you know, give yourself back into idolatry and whatnot, if that happens, that the curse is going to be so strong that comes, and seemingly the response of the people, they were like, they were kind of shocked, and then he just says this, hey, the secret things belong to the Lord. In other words, another way of saying that is his judgments are right. We may not understand it, but his judgments are just. And if you go to Romans chapter 11, in fact, let's turn there. Romans 11, Paul is giving us a nod into this. In Romans 11, if you look at verse 33, he says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become his counselor? Or who has first given to him that it might be paid back to him again? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. And so Paul is laying out basically what Moses is saying here in verse 29. Who are we to judge God? His wisdom and his knowledge is amazing. It's so far beyond. Paul in 1 Corinthians will talk about the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. And so we're trying to judge circumstances and situations with our human lens, with our limited human understanding, but it's nothing compared to the wisdom and the knowledge of God. And he says how unsearchable are his judgments. In other words, another older Bible translation uses the word inscrutable, which means basically that there's no way that we can judge his judgments. His judgments are right. And we may not understand, and like the Israelites, we may not understand the harshness of these curses or these judgments, but again, it really is, it's like we talked about on Sunday, God didn't move. We moved. We are the ones who turned our backs. It wasn't the Lord. The Lord was always there for us. And so this really beautiful, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. And, you know, honestly, it doesn't mean, you know, that we just discard. I've got a ton of questions that when I get to heaven, I would just love to have a discourse with the Father. And not out of like anger or anything like that, but just, I just want to know. You know, there's just some things I want to know. Like I want to know what Jesus wrote on the ground. Are you guys kind of curious? You know, when the woman was caught in adultery and Jesus started writing on the ground and then the Pharisees started leaving one by one. I just want to know. It's like, that's my, Jesus, what did you write on the ground, man? You know? Well, did you write like the woman's phone number and then all these guys knew who she was and so they left, you know, because they're hypocrites? Or, you know, I mean, exactly, did you write down everyone's sins, each of these guys' sins, and so then they knew, oh, man, okay, that's me, and so they left. You know, I mean, simple things like that. I mean, another question I want to ask the Lord is, why did you choose me? Right? I mean, what, you know, why did you save me out of so many people of the earth? You know, how do I come into this privilege? And there's probably tons of questions, and there's nothing wrong with having questions, but deep down, there's got to be this knowledge that the Lord is just right. He's just right. His wisdom is undeniable, and his judgments are inscrutable. They're unsearchable. He's magnificent in all his ways. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. And there is this part Paul will talk about in this way. He'll talk about we've been entrusted with this mystery. And it is a mystery that the Lord unlocks for us as we draw closer in intimacy with him. Okay? So let's close our eyes. Maybe you're going through a time of somewhat difficulty. I just want to invite you to a place of prayer where God just reminds you of his goodness. It's like the psalmist said, forget none of his benefits. Kind of like in my example I gave, maybe not a lot of money is coming in or a lot of provisions coming in, but can you also see that your clothes have not worn out, your sandals have not worn out, that you've eaten? You might not have had bread, but God's given you manna from heaven. You might not have a vineyard to plant grapes and make wine and strong drink, but God's given you water from heaven, water from a rock. And there's always room to be grateful. And let's just pray for an attitude of gratitude. I mean, we pray in our difficulty that it would get well and better. I mean, we fight and we stand in that place, but we are thankful for what God has done. And so as we worship the Lord today, let's thank Jesus for giving us life, for choosing us. He says, you didn't choose me, I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and fruit that will last. Let's thank him for our families, for our jobs, our health, our church, our friendships. There's so much to be thankful for. Let's offer our gratitude to the Lord. You know, especially when you're in a place and maybe things are not going as well. You know, I taught on this at church many times. But you know, to thank God when things are going well, that's called praise. To thank God when things are not going well, that's called faith. And let's offer up our praise and our faith to the Lord this morning. Let's pray for our community, and let's ask God's healing word for our friends and family members that are battling cancer and going through different therapies and recovering from surgery. And let's ask God's healing hand and comfort and grace over our families here. Let's pray for our community that's ill but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for physical healing, and let's pray for spiritual healing. Let's pray for our community that's battling non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Oh, let's pray for God's supernatural provision. Right, so one of our sisters found a job the other day, and let's praise God for that. Let's go to our mission focus, and let's pray for China today. Let's continue to pray for our family in Beijing. Pray for Pastor Hyunsu and Chloe, and continue to cover the board and the leaders there as they navigate through church life there in Beijing. Let's pray for Jesse and the Chung family. Pray for Matt and Nate's parents, Edie Clark, and the churches, and ask the Holy Spirit to just continue to breathe His life all over China. Pray for our church board. Let's ask for God's hand to be upon this group, wisdom and just a lot of revelation, a lot of prayer. Ask the Lord to protect the families and as they put themselves on the front line of warfare. Just ask God to really use this group to lead our church. Hospitality ministries, and let's pray for the welcoming and barista ministries, that God would just really bless them. I pray we actually still in need of some equipment for our baristas. We haven't been making coffee. Let's pray that we'd find this equipment this week so we can actually use the machine this Sunday. Thank you. Let's pray for our men's and women's ministry. Let's pray for the men's Monday morning prayer group and the Pure Desire group. Let's also pray for the retreat coming up in October, that all the men here at SP would come and really be refreshed as we draw near together. Let's continue to pray for the women's ministry. There's actually some movement happening after so long, and God's been speaking to some ladies, and hopefully the women's ministry can really start meeting and take off. And let's pray for the young adult men and women as well. Yama Yama Mayas, the Lord's hand to be upon them. Let's pray for our house churches. Let's pray for Causeway Bay, Elements, Happy Valley, Island, New Conduit Road, Cimbria, Lion Rock, and Taihang. Let's ask God's hand to be upon our house churches, our leaders. They would lead well and facilitate well, and the homes would just be full of the presence of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for the reminder of, God, the blessing of obedience, God, and the curse of disobedience, Lord. God, help us to obey, Lord. Help us to be your covenant people, God, and to carry your name with us wherever we go. Oh, we thank you. Thank you for your provision, God. Lord, even in the midst of difficulty, Father, God, you're always there, and you always provide. You are Jehovah Jireh. So we thank you, Lord. Watch over us today, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.